Welcome back with another episode of Afro Movie Review, the podcast.
Yeah. The voice you're hearing is Mo, she, her pronouns, Afro Movie Reviewer, the Chocolate Chip Podcaster.
And I am Keek, stay them pronouns, Afro Movie Reviewer, your favorite trans podcaster. Welcome back, you guys, for another episode.
It's been a minute because that tech issue. We do not apologize for the time. We took what we needed. But we're back, and you're going to get one this week. This is Season 7, Episode 89. The movie of this episode is Bend It Like Beckham, which makes the year 2002. Keeks, last time we had, I think I started, but we had a similar fact. So you can go ahead and start.
Okay, I'll do the October 17th, the Biblioteca Alexandrina.
Sounds like Spanish and Greek.
Is dedicated following a postponement caused by the second Intifada. I don't know why they added that part, but it is the major library and cultural center in Alexandria, Egypt, commemorating the Library of Alexandria. And they have books in classical Arabic, French, and English. The very first pledge of money was $65 million in 1990.
Damn.
Construction started in 1995, and after an additional $220 million, it was inaugurated in October 16th. But the way I would have this built, if I had the money, it has space for 8 million books, a 20,000 square feet reading room, specialized libraries for maps, multimedia, the blind and visually impaired, 4 museums, 4 art galleries that's temporary that you could like rotate, 15 permanent exhibitions, a planetarium, and a manuscript restoration laboratory. But the only downside is you have to pay for membership, which, like, I don't like that for libraries. But, baby, for that,
Add it to the list. That's awesome. I want to go. I absolutely want to be able to experience something like that. That's awesome. Wow.
Yeah. Okay. It sounds like heaven.
It sounds like a good time. A 20,000 square foot reading room. Everybody's quiet with plenty of space.
The way I feel like I have to learn Arabic and French, though, because I'm like, I want to be able to have the full experience. Because Arabic, French, and English. So I'm like,
Okay. My facts are sandwiched. I'm going to start with the lightest of the chews. June 4th, 2002, we have the Avril Lavigne. She drops her debut album, Let Go. Let Go had singles that, listen, you see it. Her singles were Complicated, Skater Boy, and I'm With You. She also dropped Losing Grip and Mobile. But there's also some really good songs on this album just because, I mean, and let's talk about it. Charting wise, it came out number 2 on the Billboard 200 because she hit. She came out and she was kind of like Alanis Morissette in the way that she was different for the time. She gave people a little bit, a different view onto emotions and perspective. Not everything was so happy-go-lucky. They needed that. They needed that, right? So Avril Lavigne did her thing, and shout out to her.
Yes. Skater Boy is still a hit. And
it is.
She has so much lore around her. I don't know how it's I feel about that, her.
But she don't
fun.
Age.
She's fun is what I'm going to say.
This motherfucker is 40. She does not age. That whole like Avril Lavigne is a clone thing is very hilarious because like she just kind of got frozen in time. She'll disappear. She'll come back. Like Avril Lavigne kind of seems like she does what she wants. And I support that.
I mean, she's been active since 1999. I would too.
Like, I did not since 99. I did not know. I would take breaks on that ass.
I would too. Like, yeah, you got me fucked up. So,
so that's my first fact.
My second fact is January 8th, U.S. President George W. Bush signs into law No Child Left Behind.
Mistake. Regrets. Should have left niggas behind.
Some, yes. But also, nationally, like, Department of Education, you niggas had a responsibility to the students of America, and you guys failed demonstrably. So, the problem with the No Child Left Behind is that the federal government said, hey, if you want federal funding, you have to create standardized testing. And we want to see your students improve. Only thing, they didn't say, hey, we're going to give you standardized tests. They said, no, 50 states of the United States of America.
United States.
Create your own damn
unification.
create your own damn standardized testing. And it's like, well, I'm not going to learn the same thing I'm going to learn in Georgia that I am in California, that I am in New York, that I am in Utah, yeah, that I am in, you know? So, and then it also where the ableist perfect attendance policy is and the teachers teaching to the test, where students don't feel like they really learned anything because they were just learning the materials that was supposed to be on the test. And if you didn't test well,
then what? Because the accommodations were shit.
Right. So, I mean, between 9/11 and that, he did his big one.
He did, because honestly, I was almost out of like primary school during that time. So I remember the time where niggas were left behind. And honestly, it wasn't like a punishment thing. It was because certain standards weren't being met and they needed to be met in order for you to be successful in the things that you would learn beyond. Right. Exactly. And so they started, it's not like they were holding you back in like kindergarten, from what I understand.
Right.
I don't know.
Maybe.
But it set it up where they were like, no, just pass them, because they were taking tests instead of learning information. So it wasn't like a quantitative assessment.
And I remember hearing that too, like just pass them. So fucked up.
Bad. Okay, so I am going to go with my heavier of choose. August 16th, 2002, we have the African Women's Peace Train that leaves from Kampala and goes to Johannesburg, South Africa. The Women's Peace Train is traditionally been used by women's peace groups as a mean of protesting war, militarization, or the impact of violence on women and children under those circumstances and settings. So they specifically will target things like wartime sex violence, the lack of access to medical care, sanitary needs, medicine, birthing, that kind of stuff, right? They also address racial and ethnic tensions. They talk about the disruption of sustainable development goals, working, being able to live alone, access to libraries, schools, things like that. So they'll just talk about it. This started in 1915 through a woman's train that traveled through Europe. It is the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, the WILPF. It still goes by that name in some circumstances. We had one that was here in America in 1962. Canada had one that was in 1962 as well. They went from Montreal to Ottawa with 300 to 400 activists. In 1982, Scandinavian women did their thing and went from Stockholm, Sweden to Leningrad. It was about 300 women. 1984, Australia had about 1,000 women who traveled to protest nuclear research and testing from Brisbane to Fremantle. In 1993, we had Tbilisi, Georgia, and it was, they went from Tbilisi, Georgia to the Republic of Abkhazia, and this was them trying to build peace bridging and long-term plans to obtain peace for their region. 1995, we had from Helsinki, Finland to Beijing, China. The WILPF encouraged peace and disarmament, protection of women and the environment, and the discouragement of war and peace worldwide. Most recently, we have Israel, 2014 to 2017. We had 1,000 women from different political, religious, ethnic backgrounds come together, and they were talking about wanting to resolve the differences in peace in their region. They traveled from Sderot, which is near the border of Gaza, and then they went to a college where they held a conference, and they talked about integrating a peace plan that would have all of the principles of the United Nations Security Council Resolution 1325, as well as involving women at all levels of peacemaking negotiations, because they felt like they were being disincluded in the plan making and it was impacting them long term. So that's my second fact.
I like that. My third fact is November 14th, Argentina defaults on an $805 million World Bank payment.
Oh, go off.
Look, I can't say nothing, and it's not to like point out Argentina, like, oh, they be defaulting on loans. Like, we got trillions, like 315 trillion in America. So,
wow,
I can't really say nothing. But I was like, because I don't know if you remember, but it was like, oh, we're about to hit the debt ceiling. And I'm like, what happens if y'all default on a loan? So it's technically called a sovereign default, because it is a failure or a refusal to pay back debt, which I didn't know you could just refuse.
Didn't know you had the option.
So what happens is that the country could devalue their currency so they can have inflation, which is technically not a default. They just pay with money of a lesser value.
Okay. So it takes longer to pay off the amount that you owe.
Basically. So don't know why you would do that, but they can also demand higher interest rates. So, and then it becomes a sovereign debt crisis, which y'all got it. Okay. Now, since these are sovereign governments and you control your own affairs, you can't like be like, hey, you have to pay this back. So what happens is the countries that lent the money will start applying pressure. In extreme cases previously, they would have went to war. But now...
Let's go off.
Now they could just be excluded from credit and like your overseas assets seized. Overseas assets seized. And I think that's just so funny in my opinion. Because can you just imagine you have a port overseas and they said, give me that shit back.
Snatch. Yeah, that's crazy. Wow. Well, I mean... That's a lot of money to owe. They just got that at one time?
That, I don't know, but they've defaulted 9 times. But again, can't say
nothing. What? Why would you keep loaning them money?
Countries need money to run.
No, I'm just saying, apparently they're like, yeah, not going to pay you back. You keep loaning me money and you know I'm not going to pay you back. I think you want me to have it at this point.
Also, well.
Right?
No.
Go off, Argentina. I'm back with it. y'all didn't have to be, you know, hiding Nazis, but killing off your black Argentinians. But all right. Anyways, my last fact is a softer chew. I'm sorry, I'm laughing at myself about your fact. January 6, 2002, Daniel Bedingfield returns to the number one on the UK single charts for the second time with the single Gotta Get Through This. If you do not know this song, get into it, right? You don't know the song? Okay, no. It's one of my favorite songs. It reminds me of Daniel Bedingfield is the older brother of the Natasha Pocket Full of Ass and Sunshine Bedingfield. I ain't got a pocket glad. Her.
He looks like her.
They got hella siblings. They're like hella siblings. Copy, paste, copy, paste. Their parents did their thing, right? But not only are the siblings like look alike, they're all talented and it seems like they all go into like musical directions. It's very interesting. Now, like, I did not know that the sibling pair, like Natasha and Daniel, had released a song this year. Listen to still is that song from 2002 because it reminds me of being in primary school and having to get up and be out of the house at a specific time. And like MTV or VH1, whatever the channel was, had that like AM before 7 o'clock because school schedules suck.
Yeah.
Suck, but like getting up, I knew that when that song got off, I should be turning off the TV. We have to be like heading down, you know, towards the door, whatever. So that song, I still listen to it. And you know, I will, one of my stems is to play things over, and I will listen to that song 6 times in a row. Get that man his money.
I'm gonna put it on my playlist because I definitely got Natasha Bedingfield. So
watch how you bop to the Big Brother. Watch. So that's my final fact.
Bebe, you guys know what time it is.
It's the plug.
It's the plug.
The plug.
So the plug for this episode, as it has been for the entire season, is take care of yourself, take care of others, and...
check your misogyny and massage noir, please and thank you.
Yes, and Babe has been plugging to try to get into the trans women's crowdfunding. Get into your pocket, reach into your purse. On some sad news, we had a social media presence that passed away while crowdfunding for herself and trying to support and advocate for other people who were disabled and dealing with some of the things that she was dealing with. At Tinu, T-I-N-U, she passed away recently. She had long COVID and also had cancer. And she was begging for people to take care of themselves in the way of, and each other in the way of masking. That was one of her final pleas. When she passed, her GoFundMe had not yet reached its goal. After passing, it's been exceeded. And so it's kind of sad that people have to wait until someone dies to support. But if you look on Twitter at TINU, they still have a link available for you to be able to donate to the funeral services and the support of her family and the people who would be impacted by losing her in the way of financial donations. So.
Yeah, there's a hashtag right now for Tinu, #14Tinu, and they have a bring her home kind of fund where you can lay her to rest and you can help support her family. It's almost at 50%. If we can get that at 100%, that would be like perfect because she's done so much for the community with her disability praxis, the way she loved, the way she fought for us. And the world's just a little less brighter with her gone. So,
So shout out to Tinu. Lighter note, the episode.
episode 8 and 9, Bend It Like Beckham.
Bend it like Beckham.
Bend it
So
over.
2002 Yo ass, because Bend It Like Beckham, I didn't think of it as a queer thing, but before we started recording, babe was all gay. Oh shit.
That is gay. That's so gay.
It put me on to soccer. I don't know that I saw it in 2002, but I might have seen it on the hot box at my parents' house. So I was still like in school. And yeah, let's get, what is your ranking for this film?
Wait, let's do
Oh shit, lenses.
lenses. What are your lenses?
My lenses are a single copper wire that make up the frame and the legs. The legs are bent. They have the penis hanging from the balls on each one. The left lens is a half lens with the copper wire that goes across the center and a center little module, nodule, excuse me. And then it goes across the bridge for a full lens for the right side. The lenses themselves are brown. There is also the line that goes across there with the nodule because that's the type of titties that I like. What do your lenses look like, babe?
Mine are very thin, round lenses that stacked on each other, going downwards mid-cheek, and they move as one with the bottom one with being an areola and a nipple. And the nose bridge is a Sankofa symbol, cause saggy titty supremacy in this bitch.
Yeah, man. So now, because you definitely was like, hold off on that ranking. Hold off on that ranking. Should I be afraid? What was your ranking for the movie?
My ranking was a 4.5.
I gave it a 6.75, and I don't know if it's for nostalgia.
Oh, because you've seen this before.
I've seen it. It's a movie that I know and love. What is, what were your categories?
So I had a fake ass plays because you as a goalie, what was you doing?
Okay.
I have British sayings because they was
And
going
net.
off. Look.
And net cuppas.
Love it. Love it. I have ugh. I have bitch. I have get away from her. And I have LOL.
Get a job. Get away from her.
Exactly where I got it from. What is their categories?
I have family calls. Like just very, then I have scouse, like with two Z's at the end, like scouse. I have oh the stunt. I have a love it category. I have gay, like the roaches say raid in the raid commercial. There it goes, and then an LOL category.
Okay.
Okay, so let's get into this movie. The director of this, because this is our women's directed it season, is Gurinder Chadha. This is not her first movie. Gurinder is out there.
She's been doing the thing.
She does the things. She has big OBE behind the name. She has an interesting combination for her identity. She is a currently 64-year-old woman, but she's a Kenyan-born British film director of Indian origin. At the time that she was born in Nairobi, Kenya, it was under British colony, so her family was allowed to move to Britain in 19 because of the 1948 British Nationality Act that gave them rights to entry of settlement of any of Britain's settlements, so they chose the big one, right? So it was just boop boop.
Yeah. She does
Yeah.
a lot of book to film movies, which we love those, so we'll probably
We
have to
do.
add her to that category. Most of her films explore the lives of Indian people living in England. So the common theme is that she showcased the trials of Indian women residing in the UK and how they must re reconcile their converging traditions and modern cultures. Many of her films address social and emotional issues, especially faced by immigrants caught between two worlds. And I kind of get that
Did
with this
you okay?
movie,
So what's the
kind of.
synopsis of this movie?
Oh, let me scroll up. The synopsis I is Jess Bamra dreams of playing professional football, but her Sikh parents have plans for her, a law degree and a marriage. Jules, a white female striker, spots Jess playing football and invites her to join the local women's team.
Okay, so the
Right back
themes,
then.
they was okay, thick. They gave you a synopsis on that one. So the themes that I feel like overlap is like in Bollywood, no matter what the theme of the movie is, it doesn't matter if it's a murder mystery, if it's dogs chasing cats, there is going to be a love theme in there applied, and they may not kiss. It's going to be very cute, very touchy. There's not going to be kissing. It's going to be very
Lamb
intimate.
cup one table, because that's exactly why I gave it a low score. I came here for the sports and comedy. I didn't ask for romance, especially not between that
Oh,
man. I did not like him.
the Gora? That shit was funny. The way they kept saying it, it was a
Telling him to
slur.
look,
It's a new slur.
and that man was Jonathan Rhys Meyers, who is actually Irish, which pisses me off even more because of that line he said in there.
I understand discrimination. I'm
I'm
Irish.
Irish, which, like, yeah, maybe, but also,
Maybe.
like,
So initially part of why I chose this movie, not only because I love it, it put me onto who David Beckham is, because I only knew him as Posh Spice husband. Like Victoria Beckham got her one apparently, because he was a huge, huge player during the time that he was. And he's like still awesome now, I guess. Bend it like Beckham. He does things. But the other actors, the supporting actors in this movie, I felt like at the time got more play than the main character. Main character is Parminder Nagra. She plays Jasminder Barma. But it turns out I'm sorry, Parminder works. She works. And so I just wasn't all up. I wasn't up on her was the problem. So I had
well,
to
she
erase
does a
that.
lot of like secondary roles, and I think that's the thing too, because you have these other people, the other side characters that were in there, they do main roles, and
Yes.
I'm wondering if it's
Because she's a
branding.
dark-skinned
Look,
Indian.
I want to say it. I didn't
No,
want to
I'm
say
calling
it. I'm
it
like,
because
is it a race thing?
I really feel like it's racism and colorism, because like give her more roles, like lead roles, you cowards. But
Right.
she works. Like, and also she's a stage girly. So like
Yes.
maybe I'm not driving in the lane in which she is operating.
I'm about to say, I'm not going to London theatrical performances, but
I'm
she
not in.
was
And
a
she also
beauty.
does specifically Indian theater too. So like there's very niche things that she's doing that keeps her gratified. She may be like, I don't try out for as many things because I'm booked and busy. I don't know.
I love that this was her breakthrough role, though, and this got people on her, this put people on her radar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we also have Keira Knightley, who Keira Knightley, this was not her first role, but she's a nepo baby. She's a daughter to actors Will Knightley and Charmaine McDonald. She had a minor role as Sabi or Sa Sabe in Star Wars Episode One, Phantom of the Menace in 1999. But this was kind of her breakthrough when she played this role here, and she was Jules. So after that, she's kind of taken off with period pieces. We know her from like Pride and Prejudice, which is interesting because Gurinder did Bride and Prejudice the
Yeah,
year
so.
before. Like, interesting, Kiara. But like, she's also done. She was in Pirates of the Caribbean. She was Elizabeth Swann, and that definitely put her on everybody's map. Like, she was known for that for real. So, you know, as far as like the Indian actors who were there, we have Anupam. Dad, he is a vet in the game. He is a director and a producer, as well as an actor who does mostly Hindi language films. He has multiple accolades. He debuted in 1984 and was given a Filmfare Award for Best Actor in 1984. Like, he's been hitting since then. Pinky is played by Archie Panjabi. She
I
is an
have her.
English actress. She's been active since 1996.
Oh, I had 99. Yes,
Yo,
girl.
working. She is the first Asian actor to win a Primetime Emmy Award for acting.
In 2010. Now, you know damn well
It's been too
it.
many Asian actors on TV since TV.
That pissed me off, but she does good work. She
She does good
does
work.
The Good Wife. She was in Blind Spot. She did A Mighty Heart, Life on Mars. She does good work.
She does
Battlefield
good
of America
work.
Award. Yeah.
The only other person that I wanted to clock real quick is Shaznay Lewis, who plays the soccer coach. I mean, she plays the soccer captain.
Yes, Mel.
Yes, so Mel, turns out she was a member of a group called All Saints. They were big. They were big in the UK. They won two Brit Awards and an Ivor Novello Award. She co-wrote three of their five UK number one singles, Never Ever, Booty Call, and Pure Shores. And she has dropped her second solo as of May 17th of this year. It's called Pages.
I saw that. I did have a meet Chana Tony because I was like, I
Hey.
don't know why y'all put him in their role if y'all gonna do him like that. He is British Indian actor and producer, so he is known for this film and EastEnders. But when I
Okay.
tell you he works, he's been working since what I have 1992.
All right. And also, so Gurinder, I think that what you said about her directing style and the fact that she's going to overlap things, like the fact that she took very hardcore Bollywood themes and overlapped them with some of the Western world themes, because the near kisses were very sweet to me, because get away from her, and also you don't need to be doing that because there's already this boundary. Like, you work in a bar, which means you're over 21 and can serve this alcohol. She is studying for her uni test. She is coming out of high school. There is a line that shouldn't be crossed. You're her coach, but
So many things
the
about their relationship bother me. Like the fact that Jules was mad at her, but she was clearly intoxicated, and he was
on
trying to kiss
now.
her when she was clearly intoxicated.
Did you feel
Like,
like he was trying to kiss her, or did you feel like she was trying to kiss him?
either way, you're the adult in this, and I expect you
Either
to
way.
have a lot more restraint, because one, that is your, she's younger than you, and that is your player. Like, and you already also, like, you men, how dare you try to break up? Like, you knew
They were
that Jules had
friends.
a crush on you, and why would you try to even think about doing anything?
When they were on the dance floor in that scene and he went to go pull Jess, I was like, oh, it's a threesome. And then when he was mostly dancing with Jess, I was like, it's a twosome. Like, I was like, I remembered, oh, this is gonna end badly. What I did not remember about that scene was how, like, white girl dancey everybody else was gonna be and how he was going to be getting it.
Look,
He
I said, why is he
back them
dancing
shoulders.
like that?
It was so funny. I was laughing so hard. Yo, but the other dance scenes that popped up at the wedding, at Pinky's wedding, when it finally pops off, like, I loved that. I loved how
Love.
culturally it was beautiful. There was so much beautiful to see in that wedding, but it was also like, that there it goes was part of like the this is some of the traditional stuff, this is some of the isms, this is, you know.
I did not like Jess as a friend. Because, girl, one, they barely kissed. And two, you didn't
They
even check
didn't
up on.
even kiss. They
They didn't
didn't
even
kiss.
kiss. They didn't even kiss. And then two, you didn't even bother to go check on your intoxicated. What kind of friend?
Jules or Jess? Jules?
Jules just leaves her
Jules,
friend intoxicated, doesn't bother to go check on her. But as soon as Joe is gone, why are all their names start with J? Soon
Yeah, that
as
was
Joe is
interesting.
gone, you like, let me go outside and see what's going on. Like, girl,
Yeah,
you're not a
man.
real friend, in my opinion. And
And
her
her
mom,
flashing like that.
her
Yo,
family bothered
some
me.
of my LOL was specifically like the family dynamics, the very like judgy or like culturally they were like culturally judgmental things that they said that made me laugh because I was able to recognize that how they were culturally applicable. So like the mom and her overreactions or like her crying and the way she was like as soon as it came out that they were not gay together. Oh, you're not gay. You do like men. Oh, you was like, okay. So then she's like, oh no, I always was a fan. I always did support lesbians, never. But she had been wailing the whole time. That shit was funny to me. But when she popped up at the wedding, I was very like, are you fucking kidding me? The Indian women being like, and why did she take Jasmine's shoes? That shit had me crying.
That
Like,
shit was
what's
so funny because she was like, I thought she was born in March. I thought she was a Pisces.
That shit was funny. And grandma in the pink sari, the one who made that line, she passed away recently, I believe, but she is
Oh.
an old time, long time Indian actress. She has been in multiple things. I think her career spanned like 60 or 70 decades. During the wedding, she was up there dancing with the band. She was getting it. They made sure that they gave her a lot of shine because Gurinder went through a lot of pull to get people to make sure that the Indian community was included in this movie in a full way. That was a full point for her, for me.
I really love the inclusion. I really love seeing the Indian code. Did you check the In the Arms of an Angel?
But in
No, it was the Celine Dion one.
what was it? Hold on, I have it
I
written down
have
because
it
you know
too.
I did. You know I did. Where is it
I
though?
have it
Because
too.
I want it. Hold on. Because
I
I
mean,
started.
how can I'm supposed to live without? Is that the one?
It's no, I'm Your
No,
Lady and
I'm
Who's
Your
Robbing
Lady. There you go. I was like, it's
That
from that
shit.
commercial.
That makes me laugh so hard because one of the things, like everybody knows that I hate the Christmas season, but like one of the things that I recently found joy in, and it's because I've been having an act of self-care is for me to go get my nails done. And I'm sorry, girlies, I haven't transitioned to like the at-home girls or the girls who are, doing these things at home. I'm still going to a shop. And on Christmas time, they are playing all the Christmas music in their language at different rhythms, different beats. That shit is entertaining.
I
When I
love
heard
that.
I'm Your Lady, I started
I loved
cracking
it.
up. At the end, did you watch through the end credits where they were singing?
Yes, that was so cute. I get that was adorable. I love the bloopers. I bring
Yo.
back bloopers.
I don't know, this movie, because of the Bollywood the hard Bollywood influences and themes that were stuck inside of this movie, I was grateful for it. But some of it was like, damn, damn, damn. But like,
Yeah.
because a lot of people, Bollywood is a specific category. Like, you have to be into that type of film to want to sit through. It's always going to be some singing, it's always going to be some dancing, it's always going to be a love story.
They was turning up at that part. I was, look, with them.
Shoulders.
Look,
I get it.
all of
When
it.
dad hopped in and hit his little jig and then started laughing at like the dowry party, because he was trying to
Yes.
be, cute. He was trying not too much on him, not too much
Right.
at the wedding. I was so happy.
The way they were, I really like the, and I know it's like her style. Like I really like the Indian culture part of it. I don't like the UK culture part of it. Like they
Which
kept the
part?
sayings, but I don't know. I feel like they inserted too much of like Jules or Joe, and it's just like, why y'all there?
But you know what? You also saw it on the Indian side where Pinky was like, "Oh, why does she wear blue contacts? Now I can't wear my blue contacts." Like, there were
That was
things where you saw,
definitely in my because I was like, why are you trying to do that? That doesn't, that's ugly. One. I will say that I know this is a theme throughout like most of the movies back then, but I do, and it is also a cultural part, but I have a problem with the way that most of the dads are like the most supportive and the most flexible, and the moms are so rigid and set in ways when it's like, it's because they are victims of the patriarchy and the men do have that flexibility. And it
Come
seems
on
like a
now.
male saviorism kind of thing. Like, I
Because
appreciate
Dad
this
and
part of
Pinky
it.
stayed saving the day. I mean,
Right.
I'm
So
sorry, Dad and Tony.
that, and even like, who was it? Jules' dad was like, oh, you gotta like be flexible, get to know her, get to
Yeah.
know all her stuff. And it's just
Was more
like,
sympathetic.
I get it, cause like, patriarchy is a bitch, but also I'm tired of these
I'm
Catholic
tired of this,
sayings and
Grandpa.
like I
You
don't
know
like them.
what? But I think the nod to how women have had to progress a little bit more because they had more restrictions. Like, how much can you present? How much can you really allow yourself for growth when everything around you makes you small? And until things are allowed to get bigger, and you're, maybe talking to their men about it. Is interesting because that's not what happens here. The mom is very much against and wants to stay with tradition, but it's because of the her whole cultural thing. They came here from, and like, Dad was born in Nairobi, but like, they came to Britain, and Dad had all of these horrible experiences when he was outside, and so she was secondhand having these experiences through him because she was home. Right. So it's interesting how mom eventually was like, well, I tried. Even when she accepted, she still was like, I taught her a full Indian dinner. Because what was important to her was that tradition was still with her wherever she went. She needed to carry the brunt of, like, not what they went through to get there, but like all that they took with them ancestral and like culturally, because they don't have tangible access to it immediately anymore. And it's not in the home that they're in, it's not outside of their doors. So.
That so I don't like the way they did Tony's character. I feel like he was before I knew he was gay, I felt like he was the jilted lover and he was just there. And then when I found out he was gay, it was like he's the gay best friend. And it's just like, I get it, but also you that
turn the Western down.
Why was he there in order to just be an antithesis to, because you really don't get a full, well-rounded character of who he is. I know he's gay and I know he likes soccer and David
That's
Beckham.
It.
That's all I know.
And when he comes to support her at the field, he's still with his boys and he's trying to be like the stand-up guy and they boo him and he kind of lets it go immediately. Like he's not as confident as he wants. He's gaining his confidence. That's
which I kind of been like, oh, okay, that's his, that's like a cover. Cause like, you know, you gotta be like, well, you're gay to be like, I'm not like that. So
I'm not that kind of gay because he's like, it's kind of like when I came out and some of my friends was like, so you like me? No, bitch. Cause if I liked you, I would have told you I liked you. One of the things about me coming out to like the mass was that it was me telling everybody, the people that I liked knew that I liked them in real time.
Right.
So if you didn't get, if I didn't tell you like, hey, bitch, it wasn't you. And I lost real friendships because of that. So there's a transition and they couldn't have been real friendships, but I lost people that I thought were, you know, so that that protecting connection and things like that is going to be a transition that he goes through. And he is a little bit older. And but tell them about the Reddit that you sent me earlier, please.
Oh, my God. Okay. So there is, I had read this a while ago, but there's a Reddit where it's like, today I fucked up. It's a subreddit. And I read, it was, today I fucked up because I told my parents I was gay. And it was an Indian dude who did not want to get married because his parents was like constantly giving him a portfolio of like marriage partners and like being like, hey, you know, pick somebody. And he was like, you know what? Let me just tell them I'm gay. He told them he was gay and they was like, okay, bet. The very next time they invited him over, mom was all smiles. She said, look through this book full of myths.
Because the problem, my son, is not who you marry. It's the fact that you are not married. We are the only people of our age not married. You know what I'm saying? At the temple, I need you to fix that real quick.
I love that, though. The way they were just like, oh, okay, let's change
course. But it was... Yeah, it was also interesting that when Tony gave that front, that dad was like, oh, whatever you want, because he was just so excited for them to be having that. Like, even the family was like, why are they holding hands? Because they never thought of them in that way. And to go through that Reddit that you sent, they were like, you know, Westerners, specifically people who are not of Indian culture, would think that arranged marriage just means like, oh, you just pick somebody. It's like, no, you go through these networks. That's why the aunties... In this, even in England or wherever, you know, they were, anytime she was outside, one of her aunties saw her and was coming to report. So like that community of aunties was still super thick there. And so in the Reddit, he was like, you know, this, your community, your family will get together and they'll see personality types, whatever. They'll go through and say, this might be a good match. If you're attracted to this person based on personality, commonalities and like, things that would mesh well, then you're allowed to go on a date and see if you want to go further. What he complained about was like, it goes fast. Like, you say you like this person. They're like, cool, get married. What if I don't like you next Tuesday?
I kind of feel bad that like they didn't go through with like them getting married because they could have had like a lavender marriage. He probably could have had a little bit more freedom with like being gay and open in America.
A lavender marriage.
When a gay dude marries a straight woman, and she could have been out doing, and then I mean you would have been away from your family, so they wouldn't have known as much. But you could have been out dating whoever you want, Agora or whoever, you know.
But if Agora, the slur of it, oh my God, it was just. I think that is interesting though, because when you have like a beard, it's different because in my assumption, a beard is like when a lesbian marries a gay man and they just date whoever they want on the side. Like on the real, Jess has feelings and wants to date men. He has feelings and wants to date men. Like eventually it's like we would have separate partners. How would that work? Some, you know, me, I'm creative, but not everybody's creative.
I must say they're just engaged. They never said they were going to get married. And then, you know, marriages can fall apart. I mean,
hilarious. I don't know that it happens in arranged marriages. That would be the interesting thing.
That's fair.
The production company for this was Searchlight Productions, was distribution, but this was FilmFlex, Highlight Film, and Intersonic. The budget was $5.6 million USD, but that's $3.5 million Great British Pounds. I did not do the conversion for the revenue, but how much do you think this pulled?
The production was 3.5 million pounds UK.
Mm-hmm.
At least 7
million?
Yeah.
Okay, you got to remember, this
Well,
is not the time of streaming. There was not, you know what I'm saying? You had to go to the movies to experience things, and then you had to wait to get it onto to some type of DVD or something. So this was box office in 2002.
was it a worldwide distribution?
Twas
Yeah, I still say seven. You don't think? I think they would.
76.6 million dollars. The buying power of the Indian community, the Indian spread around the world community. When I tell you people showed the fuck up. Not only that, this wasn't it was kind of like a
I thought seven was a lot. Damn.
you thought they only did two, you know, one and a
I
half
mean,
times.
two. I thought that was two.
That's
Either I
two.
was like,
Okay, two
oh,
times.
this
Listen, I don't do
my
math
double.
double.
Look, I was like, oh, double is good. Double would be good back then, you
The
know? So.
buying power, right? There are Indian people. Indian people are everywhere. India has a mass
Yeah.
population, and they love movies. Bollywood is not a theme of, like, a genre of movies for no reason.
Yes,
You
thank
know?
you.
So that
Also.
is freaking awesome to me. Like, I feel like that, but again, I want to see more of Parminder Nagra. I will probably look into her more on my own because I feel like maybe that's on me. She works.
She does. She's so pretty too.
And she beautiful, dark skin. I did notice that a lot of the other people around her in the movie were light-skinned Indians. Gurinder herself is a lighter Indian woman, so. But she, you know, gives. Let's give. I thought it was also interesting how, like, in again, in these overlapping things or whatever that we had, there was finally a kiss, and they put it, she put it at the end so that the Indian community who say
I
one
didn't
thing.
like that at all. Like, I why was you meeting? She already told you no, is the thing. She said,
She
I
did.
can't because I can either go to America and do my little soccer thing or I could date a girl. I can't do both. So why the
Yeah.
fuck is you showing up to the airport?
Yeah.
I don't like the way he don't respect boundaries.
He doesn't respect boundaries. Damn, that should take away a point. Because but you know what point stays? Because what I liked about the directing decision is that Gurinder decided to keep, there were so many near kisses and very intimate moments that were not touching. They were not in the ways that the Western world gives you intimacy in most ways. Most of the time it's not intimate, it's just
Yes.
sexual,
And I
right?
love that. I
And
love
so
that
we got
so
different from that. I loved it. She left the actual kiss that was kind of interesting towards the end. What she kept was the Indian nose rub that sometimes happens,
Cute.
the
Oh.
Eskimo kiss. But she saved it towards the end of the movie, and then to break up the discomfort that the audience that she was gearing towards might have had, she gave us the bloopers, including the song and dance from staff and crew and everybody who was involved in the process of making the movie.
Right. So
So, I
it was
loved that.
cute. Could have did without the romance. I don't see
Hit
why
it, babe, said, I
necessary.
don't need all that lovey-dovey.
Because like the family, the whole her breaking apart and like doing her own thing with her family, that is a movie within itself. I love that. I love you trying to forge your own identity while
Yeah.
having these like conflicting external identities like on you. Like, oh, I love that.
I
Why
see
was
you.
it there?
Yeah. Why was the and I think that I thought it was also interesting, like the random dancing scenes that, like, when Dad popped off and hit his jig. I liked the dowry, the when she when mom was like, my mom made all 21 of my dowry saris. I said,
Shit.
21?
21. Because,
My
girl.
Lord, because dowries is literally the woman's family coming up and giving all of this money, gold they put on the wedding and stuff. And then that's why so many people are invited and money is given to the bride and stuff, because she has to go into the husband's family. And traditionally, from that point on, the husband's family takes on a care of any of her needs, right? So whether it be medical, whatever, that's what a dowry is about in traditional sense. If it goes back to, like, and I don't want to say so traditional because I don't know about it specifically for, like, back when it mattered about, like, the patriarchy. But, you know, that's what it was about. This is what these, even still, black people and people of culture will go and get our ears pierced and get gold in our ears, and it starts the gold collecting for our children very early, right?
I
Why?
definitely thought it was the opposite. You pay for the groom pay for the daughter, like, and it's some In some instances, it is.
Ain't
though.
That it? So. And sometimes it is. But that's usually, and so, but everybody, culturally, people of culture have a dowry system, whether it be a goat giving, a bartering system. There, we do this, right? And so even when it's been watered down or taken away from the source in a way that we are distances and years away, the piercing of ears and doing real gold, because anything else will affect these very young ears. So give them real gold, something that they can deal with. Those little baby earrings be cheap and expensive because it's the start of the gold collection for the baby. The little gold bracelets, we are known for these things. And we didn't think about how it's just been passed down to us, whether, you know, this is a cultural and ancestral and long-term thing for us. And so during that whole process, the Barma family was big ball in that wedding when she said, oh, there, we're gonna let them know we're not poor. That whole there it goes.
I saw that. That was
it was the isms. It was the isms. Did you clock when Jess was like, I can't date Agora, black, what else was it? She's Muslim, no, and she was like, dead, like the ranking.
It was white and then black. Definitely not Muslim. And I was like, excuse you, what?
Because sick. And there was multiple times throughout the movie that mom was like, we're sick. And she was like, you know, there are Asian people who are around. And they were like, they kept saying, he's Muslim, it's different, we're sick. The reason that this was is, you gotta picture it, Sicily, 2002. This is right after after 9/11. The fact that dad was TSA at Heathrow wearing his turban was progressive, right? Heathrow was trying not to discriminate. He is going through a whole lot of things in real time in his outside world, where mom is going through the cultural and community part, the socialization pressures. They have separate worlds that have very comparable pressures.
Because I definitely remember when Pinky pulled her to the side and she was like, who is it? He's not Muslim, is he? And I'm like,
there's a hard, this was Muslim, a hard time for them, because on being sick, we're already being like, they're already confusing us and them. This is a hard time. There was a very, everybody drew a line against Muslim people around the world. If you had any white people who were in charge, honestly, that's what it seemed like. If your government had any policies that were going to discriminate against you based on, then you started, there was every, it seemed like everybody started discriminating. There wasn't much prejudice. Maybe, you know, there was a prejudice and xenophobia that just became in play and was normalized.
George Bush.
Bushkafer. It was the dad and the son. How can you just be so, so fucked up?
Right.
Generationally. Anyway. So this makes our ranking for this movie. Oop, boop, perfect timing. Trying to get it. All right. 5.625 out of 10. IMDb gave this a 6.7 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes gave it an 85%. What were your ticks for your categories?
My ticks were, fake ass plays had 4, but then I also added commentary. That commentary makes it 6, because them bitches wasn't doing shit. What is you diving for?
Yo.
British sayings had 5.
Internet, cup up, strap.
Pick. And the way they was, when the family had caught, thought they caught Jess, and she was like, you bitch, and she said bloody, and they was like, you don't talk to your sister that like
language,
that. She can call me a bitch, but I can't say bloody, man.
You hear her, right? You hear her. Yeah, it was a trip.
Had 9, which was a lot of the misogyny and racism and the women-centered men. Bitch was also some of the, because I've never seen an Indian girl into football, or look how dark you've become. What the fuck? That pissed me off. Get away from her had 20.
It was a reoccurring theme.
It was reoccurring thing. Like, what? And LOL had 12. What were your ticks?
Okay, so Family Calls has 21. Had 18. Scouts had 11, because when it was on Parminder, you noticed that the shot you could see a lot of her face. Everybody else might have been only feet. And okay. Oh, the Stud had 13. Love It had 25. Gay, as the Roaches in Raid, 14. There It Goes had 21. Because there was, you could clock it. Like, oh, there goes the ism. There goes that theme. There goes that reoccurring. There goes that, you know, whatever. And then my LOL had 15. I was cracking up.
This is a cute movie. I will watch it again. You'll just have to give me a few, like a year or so. Let me forget about it and then watch it again. Be mad all over again.
I quite literally, it took me years in between watching these movies, this movie again. But it's one of the movies that blockbuster story. Like if I had watched it maybe once or something when I was in my parents' home on the hot box, I watched it again via the blockbuster binge. So it's one of the movies that I like watching just because of the soccer and how it introduced me into football and things I didn't know. Dad breaking down the plays to mom with like her
with her condiments.
Yeah. You know, you connect with people how you needed to. She was dramatic. Then purple nails was ugly as shit.
That church hat to the game.
Girl. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. So embarrassing.
What was you doing? Oh, God. But yeah, that was a cute little
it was, movie. And I'm not mad at our ranking. Ass. 5.625.
It would have been so much better if you just cut out the rum. And I get it, because like you said, that is a thing for Nollywood. Well, Bollywood, sorry.
It is. And then you have Nollywood is a whole separate thing. It's wonderful.
Right. I can't wait.
We'll see what the reoccurring thing. Why are you running? Wessa, I can't wait. Wessa!
I definitely quote that all the time. Yes, I'm very much excited for both of those seasons.
So, yes, this was episode 89 of season 7. We appreciate y'all. To my mama, stop paying for these damn movies. Please go and find you a free website. Hearts, little hearts. Okay, big hearts.
All the hearts. Bye.
Bye, y'all.